So my name is Alex Lee. Nice to meet you guys. I'm a program manager in the information protection team at Microsoft. What we do is we deliver compliance and security and DLP features across Office 365. And so today I'm actually going to be doing some information about data loss prevention and the existing and new functionality that we are talking about at this Ignite. So just to count of you guys, since there's a lot, how many of you guys are familiar with what data loss prevention is? Raise of hands. Okay, so looks like probably 70% of you guys. How many of you guys are using Microsoft DLP solutions today? Okay, like I think 10% are just trying to understand, are you guys using other DLP solutions for your needs, or are you just like haven't rolled it out and trying to look for more information? More information, okay? So that's why you guys are here. Makes sense. Now, you may ask yourself, why does your company actually need a DLP solution, right? So how many of you guys have heard of all the data leakage that's cost the millions and lost revenue in the last couple of years, right? Yeah, I think everyone, that's why you're here, right? Of course. So one of the biggest problems is a lot of this data leakage is coming from a lack of informed end users, right? A lot of people are not intentionally leaking data, sensitive data from your company. It's not through malicious use, because we can usually have solutions that detect from malicious attacks. A lot of people and a lot of companies are coming from uninformed end users who are accidentally sharing or accidentally putting sensitive content where it shouldn't be going. And this is why our DLP solution protects about that. So I have some numbers for you guys. So in the next decade, there will be 44 times more data in everyone's system. And the funny part is there will only be 1.4 times the amount of IT pros and admins. And what that means is now your admins will have more and more information that they need to protect and deem as sensitive. So this is where our Microsoft solution kicks in. What we do is we will monitor, identify, and help protect sensitive content within your systems. And we do this in a way where we not only look, and the piece I'm talking about deep content is, we don't just look for regexes like a lot of other solutions. We actually also do LUNGS checksums, functions, and also keywords. What I mean by that is when we look for credit card numbers or social security numbers, we'll not only look for that 10 or 9 digit regex, we'll also look at in the near 30 character limit if there's any keywords like credit cards or expiration dates of that sort. I won't go in too much around the architecture and how everything is built. For that, you can come to one of our deep dive sessions tomorrow. What I will do is talk more about the end user experience and kind of give you guys a demo of everything. One of the great things around our native experiences is a lot of end users really need to know before they're sharing or saving content if it's deemed sensitive. And let's jump into some of those demos to kind of show you guys how we do that. So as you see here, my name is Sarah, and I'm on the Contoso organization. I'm working with a file called 2016 expense accounts, and it's an Excel sheet. As you see here, I have a lot of credit card numbers. And as I talked about, one of the things we detect is we're looking for regexes, but we're also looking for things like Amex, MasterCard, credit card that's around the context of that number. We also look for expiry dates. And depending on how many of these pieces match our content classification, we deem how confident it is. So you can also vary how much of a match you want, and this basically creates a way for you guys to fine-tune your different sensitive information types and also reduces the amount of false positives. So as I'm working with this document, I see that there's a policy tip at the top that says the item conflicts with the policy in my organization. I'm very, very happy that I'm warned about this, but I know that I'm working with sensitive content and I have the ability to override it because I know that. So if I wanted to share this, I can go ahead and override this content. Let's say the case is I wasn't sure what exactly was matching. Let's say I didn't see the sheet and it was hidden somewhere else. I can actually click this information bar, and inside of the backstage will actually show you what exactly is matching. In this case, it's credit card numbers. And the reason, the other piece of why it's matching is I'm sharing with people outside my organization. So this allows you the flexibility of maybe you wanted to share internally, and if it's internal, simply notify and say, hey, this is internal, but you're working with sensitive content. You can also go to the further extreme of your your product or to protect. And basically, if you have company secrets of that sort and you don't want any kind of sharing or saving to external organization, then you can basically apply that. And again, this is the empowerment, end user empowerment piece we have, where if I'm confident of what I'm doing, I can decide to override this. And if I override, I can put in a business justification of why exactly I'm overriding. Could be I'm sending it to an external partner. And of course, this will be audited and it can be looked at by the tenant or compliance officer at a later date. So you guys have kind of seen how we detect sensitive content during the edit and save. Now let's take a look at what happens if the content's already been uploaded to SharePoint or OneDrive for whatever reason. So again, I'm Sarah, and I'm going to go into my OneDrive account. As you see here, I have a lot of documents. And if I scroll through the list, I'll notice that a couple of them have these little icons, right? And I'm like, what does that mean? So if I hover over it, I see that this access is blocked because it contains sensitive content and conflicts with the policy. So if I click on this, I will actually get a very similar policy tip like I saw inside of Excel and the clients, where it says the item contains credit card information that has been shared outside. And again, I'm able to either report or do an override in this case. So this is functionality that we have today. One of the new pieces I'd like to do is show you guys how we actually integrate it into the share link and the share workflows of SharePoint and OneDrive. So if I am sending to an external, let's just say I'm sending to my Gmail account, what we'll actually do here is, if you notice, the share has now been grayed out. And what that means is because we know there's sensitive content in this document and I'm actually sharing it with someone external, which is my Gmail account, I'm actually not going to allow you to share. But I can view the policy tip, and again, I can report and override. What we're really doing here is integrating directly into OneDrive and the Office clients and the mobile clients, which I'll show you shortly. And what we're doing is we're natively integrating everything, so in the workflows that your IWs can potentially leak information, we're protecting them before that leakage. So can we switch over to the mobile piece? I think we're having some technical difficulties. Please, can we switch to mobile? Can we switch to mobile? Okay. So, hello? Can you guys hear me still? Okay. One of the things we have here is I've opened the OneDrive mobile account. Again, I'm logged in as Sarah. If you take a look at the 2016 expense report next to the 58KB, we see a little icon just like how we saw inside of the mobile. And if I click on this, I'll see the data again. Now let's say I click on the share, I'll see this policy conflict. And what that tells me is, again, I'm protected in the mobile space as more of your end users are moving towards the mobile space. I'll click OK, and again, I see that the item might conflict the policy in my organization, and I will click on this, and again, I have the ability to override or report an issue. Yep. So those are the three different places that we have, and we also have a lot of additional ones. Can we switch back to the deck, please? Thank you. So I'll also show you guys what we do inside of Mail. It's a very similar experience. I will click New, and again, I will type in my alex@gmail.com, and I will add an attachment, and I'm going to add the same attachment for my OneDrive. Click Next. And as you see here, once I've attached it, we'll again see the same policy tip. So what I'm trying to show you over and over again is you've basically, the 10 admins created a single unified DLP policy, but it gets applied across all your different IW entry points, right? And as you see, we also have another icon here. So I'm going to now switch to the admin experience and kind of show you a little bit about how that's configured, and we'll leave the last 5 minutes for questions. So what you see here is the new security and compliance UX. We have a new tab under data loss prevention. We have a dashboard. This is a lot of the new work that we've been doing. We've heard a lot of feedback from the customers that they really like one singular place. Previously, when you had to configure DLP policies, you had to go to the Exchange App and Center, then you had to go to SharePoint, and it was very unusable. So what we've done here is we've created one unified place where all your tenant admin can come and create one single DLP policy that will span multiple workloads. And today we support OneDrive, SharePoint, and Exchange. And those are the different IW entry points I just showed you. And another piece that we've done is we've also integrated our reporting and monitoring directly into the data loss prevention dashboard. Now you don't have to go to two places to monitor. Of course, this isn't super detailed. If you wanted more details, again, you can click these and they'll go off to the reports that you guys are familiar with today. So let's take a look at how you create a DLP policy out of the box. So we've also done a lot of work here to make the setup first run experience very intuitive. It allows the flexibility for more experienced users to do more advanced things, but we've also simplified the experience for people that are first onboarding and don't have a lot of data or experience around setting up DLP policies. So as you see here, there's three categories of the templates that we have: finance, medical, and privacy. And here we've populated a lot of different out-of-box DLP policy templates. If I click US Financial, I can easily see that this one that I'm setting up will look for credit card numbers, bank account numbers, and ABA numbers. If I click next, you can rename and add a description. One of the things I talked about previously was the ability to choose and select which different workloads and locations you want applied. As you see here, you can select SharePoint sites. You can include all your SharePoint sites, but you can also exclude or include particular ones. So let's say you have a finance team that you want to have a little bit more restrictive policies. This is how you would configure your policies to do so. You would say, for your finances team SharePoint site or OneDrive site, you want this type of policy. And again, you can also apply the same set of policies unifiedly across all the different workloads. And here, there's just simply three, but you can actually go ahead, and if I click Add, you'll see the, I believe it's about 81 out-of-box sense information types, and we've done a lot of research. We actually partnered with a third party to get what each of these means, and each of these are configured, the different sense information types that we have here, span geolocations and different requirements across, like for example, you have UK, you have Taiwan. We're continuing to invest in adding some of these, but what we've also done, and I think we'll talk about more of it in one of the sessions tomorrow, is we've allowed you guys to also do custom sense information types. So let's say I'm working for Contoso Company and I have a health identification number that is specific to Contoso. So I want to look for that. I would go in and basically create a custom data classification to use within my rules. And that, once it's imported, gets shown here. So I'm going to cancel out of this. And the other piece I talked about was being able to decide whether or not this document or the sensitive content is shared inside or outside of my organization. And this is how you configure it. I won't go into the advanced settings since we're almost out of time, but this is where you would go to set up the advanced. And here, one of the other requirements we know is a lot of customers have asked about being able to actually customize what the policy tip has is saying. The policy tip is kind of the end user notification that was shown earlier in the different clients. So what we've done here is now you're able to customize a custom message for every singular policy tip that pertains to a rule. And we've expanded that because previously on the Exchange side, we only allowed you to configure it per scenario, and now it's on the rule level. Of course, there's a character limit, but you can also add some sort of link of that sort if desired. We also allow the customization of the email notifications that go out. So let's say you wanted to add an image of that sort, the notification is all HTML, so that's all customizable. Another piece here that we've made more intuitive, and instead of creating two rules like we've done in the past, there is only one policy that's being created, and that policy controls both what happens with high count and low count. So as you see here, I can say for the high count rules, I want to be more restrictive. I'm actually going to block, and then I'm actually going to also allow the user to override, which is kind of the override experience I showed earlier. And of course, the test mode that we still enable today. So by default, we will usually, when you do a first run experience, we'll want to put things in test mode to basically collect data and not have actions applied, but you can also have the ability to show the notification of end users, or you can decide to enforce it. And This is basically, again, just a summary. I'll cancel out of this, and that's basically the end of my demo. I'll leave 5 minutes to questions. So, and I have goodies for good questions. Yeah.
When an override is triggered by the user, is it possible to set up an email alert to your admins?
So the question was, when an override was triggered for the end user, is it able to set up a notification to the admin? So today, so there's two pieces that can happen. When a match occurs, first of all, so even without the override, we'll basically send an email notification to whoever is configured inside your policy. Sorry, just remember that I'm going to put up the session slides while I'm talking. So while that's up there, I'll finish your question. So today also, the thing is, when you do an override, we don't send an email, but we have a report, and you can potentially do an alert of it. You'd have to, it would be an additional configuration.
So we definitely get alerted on the match.
You get alerted on the match. That's just something that we enable by default. You can decide to turn it on or off, but for the overrides, it usually just goes to a reporting infrastructure.
To hybrid search with an Office 365 environment, can these policies apply to the on-prem console?
Yes, they will.
They can?
They can. I believe we do support hybrid. It may not be as rich because on-prem doesn't get the bits as fast, but in a hybrid scenario, if your content is there, then we'll be able to scan. Yeah.
Is reporting the admin function or could it be a compliance officer?
So the question is reporting an admin function or a compliance officer? It really depends on which people you give the reporting RBAC and permissions to. So with the new Security and Compliance Center, we've actually also done, I think, more granular roles. So if you take a look at the roles, you can figure out which ones you want to give users. So I don't think we have really, like, we don't really want you guys to do global admin for everyone anymore.
Where and how does TLP fit in record of right management services and Azure information protection?
Sorry, say that one more time.
Where does TLP fit into the other services like right management services and Azure information protection?
So the question was, how does DLP fit into things like encryption and the other pieces, right? So the way that would fit in is you can really think about encryption as being an action that can be applied depending on the detection of the DLP policy. So that's kind of how Exchange works today, right? You can create a DLP policy that says if there's sensitive content, then apply this RMS template. So the question was, does it work in only the O365 or on-prem? So like we talked about, it works in hybrid and hosted. Yeah. So not really pure, but if you do hybrid. Great question. So it is on our backlog. We don't have any dates committed. So the question was, are we going to integrate DLP into Skype? So I've been working on that for quite a while. So it is being worked on. We have no committed dates. Yeah. Next question. Great question. So the question was content types other than data classifications that are in the file. So I didn't show you, but if you come to the session tomorrow, I believe Jack will go over more detail around all the other different conditions that you can apply on their DLP policy. One of those is particularly around metadata. So you can say, like, if my document metadata type is HBI, MBI, whatever, you can trigger off of those inside your DLP policy. Question back. Skype. So great question. Why don't you come to me, talk to me at the booth tomorrow or sometime so we can go more in depth about that. I really like to understand what you guys are trying to enable. I'm trying to understand also the scenarios from customers. So drop by the booth, yeah. Yep. Back. So for scanning, so come drop by the booth. There are some CAS solutions we can talk to you about. We've heard a lot of questions around, hey, if my documents or my content is stored in Box or third-party solution, how exactly to go about that? Come talk to me afterwards. Ah, great question. So the question was, will the policy tips show inside of a document where exactly it is? So today in the mail, we show which attachment the sensitive content is in. Inside of documents, we are working on it. It's not been announced on timeline yet, but we are looking at potentially showing the end user, if it's a very large document, where exactly that sensitive content is. But it's no time committed, not exactly committed in any way, yeah.
Can you configure complex rules using regular expressions? What's
the Yep, so you're talking about what types of things can you use inside of a sensitive information type. So if you go on TechNet and look at configuring a custom sensitive information type, we actually have a great document that runs through how exactly to do it. You can use regexes, you can use some of the functions that we have inside of our system today. What I mean by that is like dates, times, LUNS checksum for things like credit cards. You can also look for keywords, and you basically configure that as a function and then say, depending on how many of these functions match, what the confidence level is.